And that kingdom way is this. You do nothing at any time that offends place. Now, you can it's kind of like we so that we can be the best Pharisee. We want to be the best religious representation that we can be. Amen. Well, you know, I just don't like that part of the service. Okay, but somebody else does. Well, I just won't come for that. You know, I'm making this pair of shoes just for you. That they don't come until because the group look down at your own legs. But it's on stage. Okay. But they're singing. What do you do during worship? Did you sing today, brother? No way. You did not sing with those jeans on. Oh, good Lord. Please. What is the church coming to? Did you sing with them? Please don't. Good God. There's two of them. They're spreading faster than. 8:13. Paul said so much about allowing others to experience God at our expense. 1 Corinthians 8:13, and it says this: wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, what is Paul? I mean, Paul is not committed just to a moment. He's committed to a life. I will never eat meat while this world stands. I don't want that guy coming to my house that's offended by meat. Even Phil's burnt meat is better than no meat. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:19. In other words, folks, when we desire something to appease our senses more than we do of what we're receiving in a house, then there is a problem. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says this: for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself what? Servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Do you understand that doing less for yourself brings others closer to Christ? Amen. And that may be a great secret, that if many of us would just get out of the way, lots of people may come. Amen. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, and that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I become weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What is the primary goal of God's will for every man? That they be saved. That they be saved. And it says this: and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now Paul says this: I become everything to every man. In other words, if I run into a plumber, I want to talk about plumbing. If I run into this, or if I run into that, I want to talk about that. Paul looked for relational ties. He looked for something to connect with living people. And he's not there to condemn them. He's there to build a relationship so he can transfer information. We are never to condemn people. Even if they're a brother, it's better to encourage than to condemn. Now, if later a man doesn't respond, then the recourse is always the rebuke, that we restore him with all long suffering. But that doesn't have to be first and foremost. Amen? We remember that when we see faults in other people, they see faults in us. And so Paul says this: I become all things to all men, that they may be saved. What is every person's primary goal in an assembly? For you to be saved, or that they might be saved? You know, every person that comes in here needs to leave after they've been in contact with other people, being drawn closer to Christ than they have ever been. They shouldn't hate Jesus after they run into us. Could I get an amen? Amen. Absolutely. And so we are, now listen to this, we are to accept every person that comes into an assembly with the attitude of relating with them because you can, because you once were them. You've come through things, they may be going through things. They were a sinner, you used to be a sinner. They were bound, you used to be bound. See, this is the heart of Christ, that we've come that they may be saved. And folks, every Christian deserves, when they come into a house or an assembly, that every person is willing to give it all that they could be benefited. Paul said, I become all things to all men. If you don't like me, eat meat, I won't eat meat. What kind of, where are these people that are supposed to be like Paul? Where are we? Somebody say, I'm one of them. Now let's express it. And let's do it. If somebody looks at me and say, you know, I hate sitting on the inside of the pew. I love sitting on the end. Get up and move. Huh? Well, this is my pew. No, it's not. It's all of our pews. We all chipped in. So we all get a chance to sit in your seat. Amen? Listen, when we gain, that word gain means this. Listen to this. That they may gain some. The word gain means that I may help them out of an evil place. That I will enlarge their faith. That they will gain favor and draw closer in fellowship with Christ. That's what that word gain means. I looked at it, I said, it can't mean that. Yes, that's just what it means. That when people come close to us, that they are to glean from our life, that they can go home with something to feed on. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. There's just so much. I mean, you can go on. There are hundreds of scriptures like this that we're talking about. Verse 12 says this. Even so ye, for so much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, the first priority is that ye seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Now let me say this. This is heavy. Don't use the gifts when you aren't doing the work. If you don't operate in love in the kingdom, don't manifest the gifts, because it's an out of an order experience. So we can desire all the spiritual gifts, but if we aren't doing the basic elements of causing men to gain through our lifestyle, the gifts really have no power. Amen. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, look, we're supposed to do whatever we can do for other men, and we are never to seek vain glory or to have any type of pride. In other words, we are just supposed to be servants to people. And we should never be the author of strife or any type of contention. Strife or contention. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. I know it. I used to say that at home, but it didn't change anything. And so that's it. Listen, we need to be lowly minded. We need to humble ourselves under the hand of God. And we need to be what other people need for us to be. And if what we like is not what somebody else is like. We are supposed to bow to what they like. How many of you ask your wife, hey, let's go out and eat? And then she gets in the car and she says, where do you want to go? And she says, oh, anywhere. So I say, let's go to Golden Corral. No, we ain't eating there. Okay. Hey, no problem, darling. Let's go to Five Guys and a Fry. We ain't eating there. I thought you was going to take me out to a nice place. Okay. Where do you want to go? Well, I want to go to Cracker Barrel. If I hear Cracker Barrel one more time, if I eat there one more time, I'm going to turn into a cracker. Listen to me. I am so sick of baked chicken. I am so sick of their fried chicken. I am so sick of this and this. I don't even want to go there. I've ate more okra than a man should eat in a lifetime. Okra and beans and corn biscuits, honey, that's good for you. It's good for the bathroom, but it's not good for me. I just don't want it. Hallelujah. All right. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:10. And then we're going to switch here in just a couple of minutes because I want us to see a different perspective about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:10. This is an amazing scripture that I was reading. And it says this. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Now the purpose of this is that you being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving unto God. For the administration or the activity, the order of this type of life, of this service, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is also abundant also to many thanksgiving unto God. Did you notice that little passage, a little saying in there, that ministers or supplies the want of the saints? Do you know that even prosperity is never to be you first, but it is always to be others? Right here it says that you supply the wants of the saints. That's amazing that we are blessed by God for a purpose that is associated with God, his people. Okay, moving right along. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that part is over? Praise God. Now, let's go to, hallelujah, let's go to Mark 4:13. Let's realize that God told us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So we see that Jesus came because God's love asked him to. So he comes and he gives his life for a ransom for you and I to be saved. Mark, the 14th chapter, and verse 3. And it says, and being in Bethany, in the house of one Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. On his head. Now the whole story is that she anointed him for his burial. But now let's go to Luke 7:36. There are three places that the alabaster box is mentioned. Two places in Mark and in Matthew. They are, in Matthew, the 9th chapter, they are one in the same. It is the same lady being recorded twice. But in Luke, we see another woman in a whole different city with a different purpose. So there are two people. One is Mary of Bethany, And the other is this sinner woman that Jesus runs into, and one anoints him for his death, the other does something else. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat in meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw that he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." And he said, "Hey, say on, master." And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon's answered and said, "I suppose he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "See thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee." Jesus enters into the house of a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee is not interested in ministering to Jesus. He's not even interested in people coming to get healed, which was Jesus' reputation. If he was in the house, if you were sick, bound, need deliverance, you could come. But the Pharisee brings Jesus into his house with no thinking about anybody else. He realized that Jesus says these words, "I didn't come for the righteous to call them to repent, and I didn't come for the healed," because they don't need a physician. So Jesus says, "I'm not here for everybody that doesn't need me." Now let's make a clear statement. I understand that everybody comes to church to get. But really, folks, all of us are to dig out and to come to the Word and to study to show ourselves approved. So if a service doesn't go our way, we aren't supposed to be offended. It may be for someone that's steeped in sin or bound in some way, shape, or form that are not you yet, but they've come in needing help. So when we come here, we don't just wish, "Hey, boy, I've come to get." How about we come to see others receive? Well, then what would I come to church for? Said the selfish man. See, that's the problem. That's not the way of the kingdom. Not that we don't get things out of the church, but you have to realize, folks, church is not just for you, or there'd only be one person in every church. I don't know why we've got so caught up that if a church doesn't give me every Sunday what I want, I have to find someplace else. You'll never be satisfied because you aren't satisfied in Christ. Now, I always look for my church and my pastor to confirm things to me, to grow me and to expand me, and to challenge me and to do things that were different so I didn't get stuck in the mud. I wanted him to do that. And he did that. But my own personal growth comes out of my relationship with Christ. Amen. But this sinner comes in, and she's not like the Pharisee. Now let me tell you what a Pharisee is. They are those that want nothing to do except have outside approval. They are full of dead men's bones and don't even know it. They say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Because I want to rattle your bones. You say, man, what happened to the worship service today? Did it matter? Well, I like the... Did it matter? It didn't matter. If we would have had somebody blowing a harmonica, that would have been enough for us to lift our hands. Paul lifted his into prison. Some men lifted them while they were being brought to death. Some men lifted them while they were being crucified. But we come in because everything's not the way we thought it should be. I'm just not enjoying this. Does your situation control you more than the opportunity to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, to praise God and be thankful for what he did? And if we needed a jump start to thank God, we need our thankfulness tank filled. Amen? I mean, I don't just say, sometimes I'm out in the woods, man, I'd just like to praise God if I had an orchestra. Is that how we worship God? No. It wouldn't matter. When I first started church, I didn't have a band. I just preached. I wouldn't have come. I know it. But people did come. People that were hungry for God and without any music. No CDs, no nothing. In fact, Phyllis would try to play the piano and I'd just tell her, honey, you are worse than nothing. Stop. And in fact, we'd have arguments right in front of the people that came. I can't help it. Her immaturity, I didn't know what to do with it. And my immaturity. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that sometimes we got to have everything just right for us to be Christians. No. Everything right is when you're in the midst of somebody's need. That's when everything is right. And then here's a Pharisee. Are those that are called hypocrites? Jesus called them hypocrites, Matthew the 23rd chapter. And he said they are actors, or one who assumes an identity but really doesn't live it. They are, Matthew 23:15, the children of hell. Can you believe Jesus called them that? Well, why did he call them that? Well, he was just trying to degrade them. No, no. He was trying to awaken them. They are those that are blind spiritually. Matthew 23:16. They are called fools. Matthew 23:17. Because even though they have an appearance, they really don't believe that God is God. They are those that tithe of the little things, but they escape the weightier things of judgment, love, and faith. They are those that escape giving mercy to others. Pharisees strain at gnats and swallow camels. They appear righteous, but they are filled with hypocrisy and iniquity. Matthew 23:35 says that they were and are, now these are not my words, serpents, a generation of vipers, who are engaged in damnable things that will lead them to an eternal hell. Matthew. They are those who are covered with the blood of every righteous man that has ever died. Wow. The Pharisee never treated Jesus with any honor. Never treated him like a friend. All he wanted was some type of vain recognition that Jesus had come to his house. He was like many people today that had lost their joy. They'd lost the reality of the scriptures, and they just fell into a pattern that did nothing but destroy their life. The woman came and served Jesus. What does she do? She comes with need. The Pharisee didn't need Jesus. The woman needed Jesus' touch. Jesus reveals himself to her, and she sees him as the only true Savior. The Pharisee doesn't believe it at all. She's forgiven because she has been loved first. Now she loves much. She now surrenders and submits everything she has, her future and her past, and the moment that she's at her feet all belong to Jesus. He can forgive her. He can reject her past and all of the wealth and the good things that she has stored up for it, the things that she's got faith in, she's relying on. And he can send her off into a future without forgiveness. But Jesus accepts. to be Savior, for him to be Savior. Feeling that his way is far more to be desired than her own way. We all have an alabaster box. We all can give everything to Jesus, or we can withhold it. Let's today return to the days that the Pharisee forgot about. The day of the freshness of our salvation. Do you remember how joyful you were? How vocal you were? How unstoppable you were? How unoffendable you were? How service-oriented you were? Hallelujah! I mean, you were even kind to the people at the Chinese restaurant after church. Do you remember how you would go out and scrape a sister's car window or a family's car window in the restaurant? Do you remember what you would do to give witness to Christ? Let's come back to the way of the kingdom. Not only for the righteous. Listen, whatever is needed, I will. Change my tone. I may change the backdrop. We're here. Message. We are here to hear what God would say to the righteous. We are here to be transformed. We are here to put off the old and put on the new. We are here to be to go forth. We are not here to be isolated. We are here to be empowered to go out and make contact. Let us come back to the place where we lay down every weight, every sin that has so easily beset us. How many times have we come to the altar in our early days, but have stopped doing it in our latter? And God, sanctify me. That word sanctify, God takes anything out of me that keeps me out of the place that you would set me. We used to have sanctification times, much like when Paul had them in Acts, the 19th chapter, when they brought all of their curious arts, all of the bad things, and they threw them down. And they said, look, we're cleaning up our life because we see our failure to Christ. And they cleansed themselves. They sanctified themselves. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. You remember how quick you were to give anything up? Now it's kind of like we have lost our Teflon and everything sticks to us. Everything just, you know. But I never get tired of sanctifying myself. I never get tired of saying, God, what do you want? And sometimes in the past, it's, it's been my favorite shotgun. It's been, and I say, now wait, God, why don't I just give them money? I don't want money. I want what you love. I said, take Phyllis, Jesus. Why God would want a shotgun in place of a woman, I don't know. But we sanctified ourselves. God, what am I doing that I know you don't approve of? I'm done with it today. This is where I drive the stake in. Right here is where the bloodsucker dies. Right here. Right here is where I commit myself to become more like you. Whatever it was, we called them sanctifications. And that's what they're called. We are consecrated, sanctified, set apart from whatever has held our heart instead of God. And we give those things up. And so today I'm going to end the service. And I hope you caught the drift of what I'm trying to say to you. That we are not about ourselves in this assembly. Whatever it takes for others to be gained, to escape prisons and to be free and to know Christ, we will put up with. We are not easily capsized and we are not easily turned around. Could I get an amen? We become all things to all men. And then we see the world that they are in need. And we are going to touch that world. Jesus got involved in that woman's need. So we are going to touch the world. We're going to go and we're going to touch the world. Not condemn it, we're going to touch it. Could I get an amen? Amen. Amen. All right, praise God. Let's all stand our feet. Do I have a song, a singer? Or do you want me to just sing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that song, I Give It All? You don't? Anybody here over 80? Can you sing something like that? I've decided to follow Jesus. Do you? No, I've decided. Do you need earplugs?
Yeah, I do.
You got them in there, don't
Sorry,
you? Yeah,
I do.
All right. Now, here's what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to end the service. Might be one, might be 100. I don't know. But this is what I am going to do. I'm going to challenge every person that they make sure that God, this is where I leave differently. There's no sense in hearing about what we're supposed to do. There has to be a place that we decide to change. There has to be a place that we lay stuff down and don't pick it up. So, as we dismiss today, we're going to gather again Wednesday night. And I'll be here preaching. And if you didn't get last week's message, you need to get it. And because it'll set you free. And but as we dismiss, we're going to allow people to come, whether couples or individuals, and just spend a moment and say, God, help me see what needs to be gone. Help me see, God, what keeps me from a place of consecration. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to be condemned about it. You have it, you have it. If you don't, hallelujah. So, we're going to end it with this song, and so the altars are open.
I have decided to.
Yeah.
Why not me? Even when it all seems hopeless, even though we don't know how, Lord, we're believing for a miracle. So why not here? Why not now? Cause I know my face.